Big changes continue at the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's deep into an investigation into whether Centers for Medicare and Medicaid employees leaked information for stock traders. At the same time, the agency is dealing with an uptick in its caseload over the last year to nearly 700 enforcement actions. Now, some experts say the numbers represent only a partial success because the SEC hasn't launched many blockbuster investigations. Andrew Koresny is director of enforcement at the SEC. He explains the agency's priorities.
We are certainly focusing on traditional areas in which we've always focused, like, for example, investment advisor cases. A lot of our cases fall into the category of misrepresentations or other violations by investment advisors, people who manage people's money. We also will continue our focus on insider trading, which has been a major focus for the last 5 years. I think we brought more than 580 cases against 580 entities and individuals over the last 5 years, and that will continue. But we are also focusing on areas where maybe in the last 4 or 5 years we have not had as much activity, or at least we've had recent activity, but not as much over history, including market structure, which is an important area. It's an area in which, you know, now that we have algorithmic trading and high-frequency trading and automated trading, this is an area of increased focus, and we're focused on exchanges, ATSs, alternative trading systems, as well as on broker-dealers and traders who might be engaging in manipulation. And then another important area that we're very focused on is financial reporting, so accuracy in financial statements and other disclosures to investors. This is an area that has historically been a focus, but in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, we've been less focused on, and I think it's obviously an area of great importance to investors to receive accurate information. And then finally, there's areas like microcap fraud and pyramid schemes that are important to retail investors, where we're very focused. These are areas where often the fraud is focused on retail investors, and we've seen an uptick in these areas as well.
I wanted to ask you about those alternative trading systems, because those are very high-speed computer-operated operations. How do you detect them, and what kind of tools do you have to see what it is they're doing, and if it might be against the rules?
So you're really sort of drawing two areas. One is the alternate trading systems themselves, which are essentially have to be registered with the SEC, and which they conduct trading on behalf of customers. We regulate those. They're subject to different regulations than exchanges, but nevertheless, they have to file a Form ATS with the SEC identifying how their operations work and the like. And so we're focused with them on issues like, for example, there's a requirement that they preserve the confidentiality of trading information on them. And so there's been times when that's been breached. We're focused on the accuracy of the representations, both to clients and to the SEC. And then separate and apart from the ATS operations is manipulative and other problematic trading by traders. And that we focus on. We have ways to surveil that. We work closely with FINRA and other self-regulatory organizations that have surveillance capabilities, and they're able to look at the market as a whole and detect potentially manipulative trading. And that's the way we detect that. We also find that sometimes in exams that we conduct of broker-dealers, and also we get reports sometimes from broker-dealers themselves of manipulative trading. So there's a whole host of ways where we might detect that activity. Having said that, those cases are challenging because, as you suggest, the trading activity is very extensive, and so to break it down and identify manipulative trading conduct is challenging.
And on the point of accuracy in financial statements, I know that there are so many in such volume of financial statements. How do you comb through all of that? What kind of tools and techniques do you use to detect where there might be anomalies?
Yes, it's a good question. We established a little over a year ago a task force within enforcement of a number of individuals, both accountants and lawyers, whose job it is to go out and use outside services and other data sources to identify companies that we should be looking at more closely to determine whether there are financial reporting issues. And they've been doing that by taking advantage of outside services as well as a number of resources that we have in the building and other divisions, like the Division of Corporation Finance and other divisions within the SEC. And so There obviously are other ways you can detect financial reporting issues. For example, companies can report restatements. They can report issues in their financial statements. And so we detect it that way. That's obviously much more straightforward. If a company reports a restatement to its investors, then we might open an investigation and look. But we're also trying to find other ways to identify these issues, and I think have been pretty successful in doing so over the last year, year and a half.
We're speaking with Andrew Ceresny. He is director of the Division of Enforcement at the SEC. Now, the SEC doesn't have the resources of, say, a CMS, a Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but they're using lots of big data analytical tools to look for fraud, waste, and abuse in the area that they're responsible for. Are there similar types of tools available to the SEC to maybe look at vast reams of data undifferentiated, looking for anomalies?
Yes, that's an important trend that we've been seeing over the last 2-3 years. There are definitely lots of sources, big data these days, and we've been trying to take advantage of that in a whole host of ways, both, frankly, within the Division of Enforcement and more broadly within the SEC. So, for example, our examination program is very focused on using big data. So a couple of examples of how we're using that, you know, in insider trading cases, we have reams, billions and billions of lines of trading data. We're trying to use that to identify trading patterns that might suggest insider trading, and we've developed tools that allow us to do that. We're also using data in other ways, like, for example, helping us to identify issuers that we should be focused on for financial reporting issues, as well as in other areas, like, for example, we recently brought a bunch of cases in connection with violations relating to Section 16A, which involves reporting by insiders of their stock transactions. And we use data analytics and big data to find repeat violators so that we could bring a bunch of cases and thereby send a message. So we're very much focused on the use of data, and it presents very exciting opportunities for us.
And what is the bigger source of information that causes you to launch an investigation? Is it the big data and the analytics, or is it the old-fashioned whistleblowers?
Well, you know, it's a whole host of ways. Whistleblowers is certainly important for us. And, you know, under Dodd-Frank in 2010, it created the whistleblower program whereby we can award whistleblowers 10 to 30% of any recoveries that we get. And that has yielded tremendous numbers of tips. Last year, we got over 3,200 tips, and this coming year, we'll soon be announcing the number of tips we had. But we get tremendous numbers of tips, and whistleblowers are extremely important sources of information. But we also, you know, get information from other sources as well. For example, our exam program goes out and examines registrants, so investment advisors and broker-dealers, and they identify violations and refer it to enforcement for additional investigation. We also get information from, you know, news media and from other sources, but we have many, many ways to obtain the information, and it's a robust process for us to identify misconduct.
And do you maintain, like, lists of rogue characters, like the FBI 10 Most Wanted or that type of thing, or people that you know you need to check regularly?
Well, it's interesting. So we obviously have registrants that are registered with us who we examine regularly. I wouldn't call them most wanted lists. Those are obviously people that are within our authority, and we look at them regularly. But then there are people in particular areas that I mentioned who you focus on. Now, for example, in the microcap area, there are lots of repeat players, people who show up in scheme after scheme. And so we certainly have identified those folks and are focused on them in that particular area. Similar issues in the pyramid scheme area and some of the other areas. And so you certainly do develop a focus on repeat players because you obviously want to deter and punish and take those folks out of the industry.
And I wanted to ask you about the broken window strategy that the SEC has been pursuing. What is it, and what is it designed to do?
Sure. What it is we're focused on a number of areas where we have seen a lack of compliance more broadly. And what we have done is to focus on those areas, use streamlined investigative methods to identify violators, and then bring cases, again, in a streamlined fashion, both through a streamlined investigation and then through identifying a settlement approach that would allow us to quickly settle those cases, but also to send a strong message in those areas about compliance. And so we brought a number of initiatives in this area and have a number in the pipeline. And the idea is to use minimal resources to send important messages about compliance in particular areas while also sending a broader message that we are watching and that folks should be compliant in all sorts of areas. It has not, though, distracted us from our larger mission, which is to address the kinds of areas we've been talking about, like financial reporting, market structure, insider trading, investment advisor, et cetera.
Anything else that we need to know about enforcement activities?
I think, listen, it's a great time to be in the enforcement division, a great time to be at the SEC. We are very active in pursuing misconduct, and we have a lot of momentum, and we'll continue to be active in the future.